Exodus chapter 28, verse 15. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twined linen shalt thou make it. Four square it shall be, being doubled. A span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof, and thou shalt set it in its settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardis, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. And the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a ligure, an agate, and amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings. And the stone shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Everyone with his name shall they be, according to the 12 tribes. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate chains at the ends of the wreathen work of pure gold. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate two rings of gold, and shalt put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. And thou shalt put the two wreathen chains of gold in the two rings which are on the ends of the breastplate. And the other two ends of the two wreathen chains thou shalt fasten in the two ouches, and put them on the shoulder pieces of ephod before it. And thou shalt make two rings of gold, and thou shalt put them upon the two ends of the breastplate in the border thereof, which is in the side of the ephod inward. And two other rings of gold thou shalt make, and shalt put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath, toward the forepart thereof, over against the other coupling thereof, above the curious girdle of the ephod. And they shall bind the breastplate by the rings thereof unto the rings of the ephod with the lace of blue, that it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate be not loosed from the ephod. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place, for a memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. The Lord will bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Jan. So today we continue our studies in the garments of the high priest. Let me just remind you that when we're in the books of Exodus and Leviticus, we are looking at pictures and we are looking at shadows. As we reminded ourselves last week in Hebrews chapter 9, we find that they were pictures of the things for the time then present. And in Hebrews chapter 10, there were shadows of good things to come and not the very image. So when we're in what we call the typical portions of the Word of God in the Old Testament, they're only shadows and only pictures. They're looking forward to something else that's greater and more substantial. And so we find that when we're in these typical chapters in Exodus and Leviticus, we have set before us a foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus Christ in these different aspects which are suggested and set forth in these two books of our Old Testament. Remember that last week we considered the ephod and the girdle and also the onyx stones upon the shoulders of the high priest. And we observed that the ephod was made as God had designed it. It was made of gold and fine twined linen with blue, purple, and scarlet. And then again with the girdle, that also was made of gold and fine twine linen, blue, purple, and scarlet. And you'll remember that we learned from chapter 13, 39 of Exodus, the gold was beaten into thin plates and then cut into wires, and then it was interwoven with the fine twine linen. And so we have the ephod and the girdle made of the same materials. Now we come to the breastplate, and we find in the breastplate that also is made of gold and blue, purple, scarlet, and fine twine linen. And so there must be just a suggestion of the glory and the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ in these three pieces of the Aaron, the high priest of Israel's dress. I want to suggest that in the ephod we considered last week, that we have the very person of the Lord Jesus, the gold, his divine glory, the fine twine linen, his sinless and holy humanity, and the blue and purple and scarlet, now the beauty of the characteristics of the Lord Jesus when displayed here, when he was in the days of his flesh. So we find that the ephod brings before us the glory and the beauty of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. But when we come to the girdle, made of the same materials, but the girdle is always associated with service. And so as we considered last week, we have the service of our Lord Jesus Christ, not only when he was here during those 33 years, but his service now in heaven itself, which is entered by his own blood, that he might make intercession for us. And of course, it looks on to the millennial day, when again, he will make his people to sit down to meet, and he will serve them. And so the girdle speaks to us of the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is, as Hebrews chapter 8 reminds us, our great high priest. But the breastplate speaks to us more of the affections of the Lord Jesus Christ for his own, and the security of all those who have been bought by his precious blood, all those redeemed by blood. We have the security of the believer set forth in the breastplate. And so this afternoon, we want to consider something of the meaning, if we can, and significance of this breastplate of judgment. Now, I'll make an explanation as to the meaning of the name breastplate of judgment at the end. What I want to consider, first of all, is this, the workmanship. As we said, it was had to be skillfully made, as the ephod, with the gold and the fine twine linen and the three colours. It had to be made with the same skill as was the ephod. And then we learn that actually it was four square in its size, and it was doubled in its size. So now we have the breastplate. It's made of the same material, but it's four square. It's, it's about half a cubit in breadth and half a cubit in length, which some suggest would be about 10 and a half inches. So it's four square, and it was doubled. Really interesting when you consider what, in relation to the tabernacle, was four square. Because when you go back to the brazen altar in the tabernacle in the wilderness, instead of the brazen altar, it was four square. When you come to the holy place of the tabernacle, and we come to the golden altar of incense, again, it is said it is four square. And if we were to go right on to the book of the Revelation and chapter 21, we find that the city also will be four square. And now here with the breastplate, the Spirit of God has just written down for us how the breastplate would be four square. Of course, it would be a suggested meaning in relation to it being four square. You see, in the brazen altar, which was four square, where the sacrifices was offered, first for the sins of the people, and others for the acceptance of the people, we have there the great thought of the universal hope that is suggested in that brazen altar is four square, and there's hope, or should I say, there is hope for all, no matter where they may be in the world because the sacrifice of Christ, which is actually, well, just suggested and typified in the sacrifice that were burned upon that altar, it was for all the people. And so you see, there's hope for all, and that through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we come to the golden altar of incense. There is not the sacrifice of sin offering and peace offerings and meal offerings, etc. It's now the golden altar of incense, where Aaron the high priest, he stood, and there he actually, it was a place of intercession. And so we find that in the golden altar of incense, it's not now hope for all, because of the work of Christ accomplished at Calvary. It's help for all. Because you see, it's just a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who today ever lives to make intercession for us. And so we have this help for all in the golden altar of incense. If we were to go right on to Revelation 21, we learn there that there's a home for all. So that all the blood-bought people of the Lord Jesus Christ have, well, what Revelation calls a city, a home for all his blood-bought people. But here in the breastplate is not hope, it's not help, it's not a home. It's a heart for all the blood-bought people of God. For the breastplate, we're told, was to be worn by Aaron the high priest upon his heart. And so we find then it was four square, suggesting to us that after all, there's a heart for all the people of God that's ever beating in love and affection and compassion for his people here upon the earth. And so we learn that that is the first we learn about this breastplate. But then it was doubled. The reason why it was doubled was because this breastplate was to carry 12 precious stones. In order for the precious stones to be carried on that breastplate, we find it was doubled. And in that doubled breastplate, there were settings in which each of the precious stones were set. And so we find that in the workmanship, if I might call it that, of this breastplate, we have the delightful truth of the heart of Christ and his unfailing affections and love for his blood-bought people. And upon that breastplate, which was doubled, which was four square, then God instructed Moses that he should put 12 precious stones in their settings. So I take it that in the breastplate, there were 12 settings. In each of those settings, there was put one precious stone. There are four rows, three precious stones in each of those four rows. Now, there have been many attempts to try and explain what those precious stones were. And many interpretations have been suggested. But I rather think that we just leave it as it is. God actually told Moses to take 12 precious stones and set them in their settings, if you will, in their sockets, on the breastplate, that he might ever have his people before him when Moses went into the presence of the Lord. So you see, we not only have the workmanship of this breastplate, we also now have the beauty of the people of God displayed in this breastplate. For these 12 precious stones, as far as the book of Exodus is concerned, represented the people of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so on each stone, there was engraved the name of one of the tribes of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so God had so designed the breastplate to be made, settings to be set in the breastplate, and then 12 different precious stones put in their settings. And on each stone, there was engraved the name of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. So that every time Aaron the high priest went into the holy place and before the presence of God, there upon his heart, in this breastplate, were represented all the children of Israel according to their tribes. You may remember that when those two onyx stones were put upon the shoulders of the high priest, we have the six names engraved upon one, the other six names engraved upon the other, but that was according to their birth. Here it involves all the children of Israel, according to their tribes. They're all represented in a precious stone that's worn upon the heart of Aaron the high priest as he went in before the presence of the Lord. I just want to suggest to you that the typical meaning or significance of those 12 stones is seen in this. As far as the believers today are concerned, we all have a particular beauty and preciousness unto God. And so that just as the names of the 12 tribes were engraved with the engraving of a signet upon a stone, upon those stones, so the Lord Jesus Christ carries upon his heart all the names of his blood-bought people. And the fact they were precious stones just indicate to us how precious believers are, even to the heart of God. So as he would have Aaron, every time he went to the holy place, to have upon his breast, this breastplate with these stones, representing the 12 tribes of Israel, that they might be ever before him. And that says continually. And so we learn this simple lesson from the type that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, a great high priest. And upon his heart, he carries each one of us individually in our individual beauty. For your notice, God never puts things together in lumps. It's always individual. And so we find that the believers, we have our own individual beauty put upon us by God in the person of Christ and carried upon his heart. So now, with the Lord Jesus Christ in the very presence of God, we find he appeared in heaven before God for us, and our names are there emblazoned upon his heart, and everyone is different. I think that's a delightful thought, that God has so ordained things that each one of us have our own beauty as far as he is concerned. We're not all lumped together as one. We're individuals. And because of what we are in Christ, God has put a beauty upon us individually. And so we're there for his joy, for his delight, for his pleasure, and that continually, as the Lord Jesus Christ being the answer to the type of Aaron, Israel's high priest, carrying upon his heart that breastplate with those 12 precious stones upon him. But not only does that suggest the individuality of believers as appreciated by God, carried upon the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, not only does it suggest that each one of us have a beauty which God appreciates as we're carried into his presence, and that upon the heart of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus. But of course, there is security. Because you see, each of those 12 stones were actually put in their settings in the breastplate, which was doubled. So there was no possibility of any one of those 12 stones to drop out of the breastplate and be lost. And so we learn very simply that there is in this type, set before us the picture of the eternal security of each individual believer. Interesting notice, it did not matter about this change in circumstances of the children of Israel, or of their infirmities, or of their sins. They could never be removed from the breastplate that Aaron wore upon his heart. There was an eternal security suggested in the picture, which we enjoy at this present time. And so you see, there's not only the fact that God sees us as individuals. Not only that each individual believer has a beauty that God appreciates because we're in Christ, but now we are altogether secure. We cannot be lost. It matters not about our changing circumstances. It matters not about our different infirmities or our sins. We cannot be lost. There's not a power in heaven or on earth can remove any believer from the heart of Christ. And so we see in this breastplate, these lovely, lovely types in relation to the Lord Jesus himself and his believing people. And to think that as individuals upon his heart, and despite the changing circumstances and infirmities that mark us, we are never outside of the love of Christ. And so we find he bears us upon his heart. No wonder we learn that having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And that eternal security is suggested, is it not? Because in John chapter 10, you see, he says, no man can pluck any of his sheep out of his hand. So our security is eternal. We'll never be plucked out of the hand of the great shepherd, who is also our great high priest. But then you notice something else. You see, this breastplate was secured, so it could not be loosed. It could not be moved. That's why you read of gold rings, wreathen chains, gold chains. And so this breastplate, they had gold rings. And then there's wreathen, or sometimes it's rendered twisted gold chains, to attach the breastplate to the ephod, that is that outer robe that Aaron wore, and also to the shoulder pieces upon which the onyx stones were. And so we find the breastplate could not be loosed. It was attached to the ephod itself, and it was attached also to the shoulder pieces upon which the onyx stones were set. And so we find that this breastplate could never be loosed, as the scripture says in those verses that we've read. Never be loosed, and it could never be moved. No matter what the action of Aaron the high priest may have been, that breastplate never moved. It was secured in those wreathen twisted chains of gold that attached it both to the outer garment of the high priest, the ephod, and also to the shoulder pieces that linked it with the onyx stones upon the shoulders. What that teaches us, of course, is this, that the 12 stones upon the breastplate and the breastplate itself being attached to the ephod and the shoulder pieces where the onyx stones was, that breastplate has a link with the shoulder pieces. And the 12 precious stones in the breastplate has a link with the two onyx stones upon the shoulder pieces. For this breastplate was attached by wreathen or twisted chains of gold to both the ephod and to the shoulder plates upon which the onyx stones sat securely. What we learned last week, do we not? That the onyx stones upon the shoulders of the high priest represented the children of Israel in the place of security, the place of power, the place of strength. And those two onyx stones engraved with the names of the tribes of Israel were in a place of power and the place of strength. And now we learn in the breastplate, they're in the place of love and the place of affection, because the breastplate was worn upon the heart of Aaron the high priest. It's true in relation to ourselves. You see, although it's different in the opening verses of our chapter, where the onyx stones were set upon the shoulder pieces of the ephod, and the 12 precious stones upon the breastplate that was worn upon the ephod, upon the heart of Aaron the high priest, the 12 stones and the onyx stones were linked. There's the strength and the power suggested by the onyx stones on the shoulder, and the love and affection suggested by those 12 precious stones upon the heart of Aaron the high priest. And so today, as God's blood-bought people, we find that we're linked with the heart of Christ, his love and his affections, and with the power and the strength of Christ, illustrated by those two onyx stones upon the shoulders of the high priest. And you'll remember, I'm sure, in Luke chapter 15, the sheep, when it was found, was carried upon the shoulders of the high priest, a place of strength, the place of security, the place of power. Yet linked with that, we have the heart of love and the heart of affection. We're never outside of the love and affections of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest now in heaven. We're in the place of power. We're in the place of his affections. And so we find then, as God designed the breastplate, as all the other articles of the dress of the high priest, as he designed the breastplate with a view that we might have this constant encouragement. We're never outside of the love of Christ. We can never be removed from his heart, irrespective of what our circumstances or sins may be. Never be removed. We're eternally secure in the person of the Lord Jesus. And so we find then that the significance of this breastplate as to its typical value, it just illustrates to us that we're carried by our Lord Jesus Christ upon his heart continually. Notice the is it verse 29, he shall go before the Lord and he will carry that breastplate upon his heart continually before the Lord. And so we are continually before God upon the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, even now at this present time. But there's a mystery there, because in this breastplate was put the mysterious Urim and Thummim. We're not told anything about them, really. We're not told what they were. We're not told just the whereabouts in the breastplate they were put. All the scripture says to us is this, that in the breastplate they shall put the Urim and the Thummim. These two mysterious descriptions, stones or whatever they may have been, are set before us in the detail of the breastplate, that we might understand how that those two, well, we call them stones, are we? Urim means light. And of course, Thummim means perfection. And so we find that actually in the Urim and the Thummim, as we consider their mention in Holy Scripture, in Old Testament, through the Old Testament books, they're always associated with making known the mind of God unto the high priest. And you'll recall, no doubt, those different scriptures where the king came to the high priest and inquired of him through the Urim and the Thummim that he might know the mind of God. And so I just want to suggest to you that the Urim and the Thummim put in the breastplate, and nothing more is told us of it. But from the mention of these two stones, we learn that we can know the mind of God. And because of where we are, we're upon his heart, and we can now know the mind of God. And God can make his mind known toward us. And so I take it that these two mysterious stones, of which the scripture says so little, they set before us this wonderful truth, how that we can know the mind of God, and that because we are upon the heart of the high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the writer reminds us in the description of the dress of the high priest that this was the case. A breastplate of gold, of fine twined linen, blue, purple, scarlet. The background to the breastplate, or to the precious stones, which were put in sockets on that breastplate. And so we find that God sees in us as we're in Christ, on his heart, a beauty that we would not perhaps even realize. And we have an eternal security because we're on the heart of Christ. And we can know the mind of God. And that, of course, through the scriptures, we can know the mind of God. Just as the kings would come to the priests to inquire of them what they should do. And so we find that in this interesting passage, describing for us the breastplate worn upon the heart of the high priest, these typical truths relating to the person of Christ as our great high priest and our position on his heart as his blood-bought people. But why the breastplate of judgment? See, the word judgment is not the word used for penal judgment. The breastplate of judgment, it simply means this. It's a breastplate of discernment. And so we find that this breastplate was a means by which the mind of God could be discerned through their high priest, as far as Israel was concerned. And we today can know the mind of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest. And so we have then this central item of the dress of the high priest of Israel, because it brings us to the very heart of Christ and let us today just enjoy this great truth that Christ carries us upon his heart, irrespective, carries upon his heart, ever before the presence of God, that God finds delight and in the blood-bought people that's upon the heart of Christ. For after all, it was for a memorial. But because of omniscience of God, it wasn't just to remind God. It was that God might find the delight in his people linked with his son, the Lord Jesus. We, the blood-bought people of Christ, carried upon the heart of the Savior, our great high priest. And so we finished with the central article of the dress of the high priest, which leaves now the robe of blue, and of course the mitre, and the golden plate upon which was inscribed, "Holiness unto the Lord." Now may God bless his word to us. Thank you.
Amen.